Hi, welcome to The Bridge Podcasts. We hope you enjoy the following message. For more information on all that's happening at The Bridge Church, please visit www.bridge-church.com. I want to talk a little bit about identity again this morning. And how, just like in that movie, everyone was worth it to Jesus. Everyone was worth it. And I think that a feeling of unworthiness is a terrible thing. It's a debilitating thing. And I think so many people these days struggle with feelings of unworthiness. And you can spell that out. I'm not good enough. Yeah? I'm not good enough. I don't merit your attention. I don't merit your love. I don't merit your respect. And you people get buried in anonymity when they believe that. When they believe that they're not worthy. And it's like that bumper in our anonymous film a few weeks ago. It's a prison. It's a cage. And it keeps us in there. And people become caged in that anonymity. They go through life feeling that they're anonymous and that they've no worth. But you and I, we were worth his life. We are worthy. Amen? We are worthy. Say this after me. I am worthy.
I am worthy.
Yeah, we are worthy. And if you believe, if you feel that you're unworthy, I want to say to you this morning, that's a lie from hell. It's a lie from the pit of hell. You are worthy. You are most worthy. But you're worthy because of Jesus. You're worthy because of Christ Jesus. Amen? And so it's all about life. It's all about life in Christ. This is what we're going to look at this morning, that identity. And we can have a good life or we can endure a bad life. And the choice is ours, amen? If you, Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 says, choose what you want. So we can have a good life or we can endure a bad life. And so I want to look at things like confusion, insecurity, fear, and all of these type of things. Because these things are rampant today, but they're all forms of death. Confusion, insecurity, fear are all forms of death. Because God's not in any of that. Is God in confusion? Is God in fear? Is he in insecurity? Our God has no place in those things. Those things are all a form of death. Amen? Those conditions of people's lives don't come from our Father God. They don't. Amen? So, and if you look around today, if ever there was confusion, it's today. Massive confusion. Amen? And people have a massive identity crisis going on. A lot of people have, and also sadly to say, a lot of people that have given their lives to the Lord and we're walking out a Christian life, we can also be faced with an identity crisis. So do you believe that? So anyway, the word says in James 3:16, now I'm using the Darby translation this morning. Okay, the Darby translation. First time I think we've ever used it. The word says there, for where emulation and strife are, there is disorder, confusion, and every evil thing. Amen? Some translations say that for where envy and jealousy are. But this translation says for where emulation is, there's every evil thing. And emulation is like an effort that we make to match someone or to exceed an achievement, to emulate something. And it's like imitating something, emulation, amen? So I think that gives us a message. We've got to be careful who we're emulating, who we're imitating, amen? You know, and so if you look at Ephesians chapter 5, okay, Ephesians chapter 5, I think it's verse 1 and 2. Let's look at that. It says there, therefore, become imitators of God. Copy him and follow his example as well-beloved children imitate their father and walk continually in love, that is, value one another, practice empathy and compassion, unselfishly seeking the best for others, just as Christ also loved you. Amen? So saying there, imitate me, imitate Jesus, imitate Christ. Because I think that a lot of identity crisis comes out of our effort to imitate other people and to emulate others. And we end up with this conflict there, especially in our Christian lives, amen? So Jesus' life, and in these places of difficulty, in the confusion, the fear, you know, has anyone ever had or felt like you've had a defeated spirit? It's like, nah, yeah, I've been conquered on this one. You know, I'm feeling defeated. It is a crushing thing. But Jesus is the way for us to come through these things and to experience victory. I want to experience victory. Lewis, do you want to experience victory? Amen. And we want to experience victory. And the other thing we want to experience is newness of life. We want to experience newness of life. Amen. And that is just on the other side of all of these experiences. We know that we're going to go through confusing times where we feel defeated, where we've got insecurities. But on the other side of that, there's a victory and there's newness of life. Amen. And so I thought, wow, you know, when we receive newness of life, we leave the death part behind us, right? We leave it behind. And it's when it's behind us, it's powerless over us. You know, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55, it says, "O death, where's your sting? O Hades, where is your victory?" So it's like when you walk in newness of life, when you identify with that new life in Jesus Christ, you leave the death part behind. How many people can raise your hand if you know personally someone who's afraid of death? You know anyone who's afraid of death? I think a lot of people say, yeah, you probably know people that are afraid of death. But this is amazing. Amen? So there are experiences that we have to go through, and there's a way for us to come out on the other side. Thinking about winning the victory, if you look at even the story of David and Goliath, yeah? Basically, one man represented each nation. Goliath represented the Philistines. Is that right? Yes, it is. And David represented his nation, Israel. And Goliath was basically saying, I am the representative of what I stand for. I'm going to provoke you until you send me the representative of what you stand for so that I can take him out of the game. And of course, we know what happened. David won the victory there, didn't he? And but after David won the victory, the Philistines fled. The rest of Israel didn't have to do anything. One man won the fight. Do you understand what we're saying? Where I'm going to? One man won the fight. Jesus has won the battle for us. He's won it already. So we are still in a battle. We know that. But it's like Romans 8:37 says that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We're more than conquerors because of Jesus Christ. And when we're in Jesus Christ, we can live a life of conquering. Amen? So Jesus gives us direction in life. He gives us true direction. Amen? And there was a little story of a missionary. This guy's in a village somewhere. He's going to go to the next town or the next village. So he goes to the elders of the tribe and he asks them for a map to get to his next destination. So anyway, the guys point to a wee guy with a machete. All right? So he thinks, okay, I'll go and they want me to go and ask the guy with the machete for them to draw me the map. So he gets to the guy with the machete, and the guy with the machete says, no, no, no. He says, I'm the map. So you follow me, and I'm going to take you to the next village. So isn't that amazing? You know, it's like Jesus is the way. And that was a great thing to me. He's gone and he's blazed that way. He's given us everything that we need just to. What does the word say? I've given you everything that pertains to life and to godliness. We've just got to pick it up. And so, you know, I'd rather follow someone who knows the way than chance it by myself. Amen? I don't want to chance it. Yeah, my dad always used to say to you, you're a chancer. You're a chancer. I'm like, yeah, I took lots of chances. We took lots of chances. Amen. But he says, John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I'm the only way. I'm the only way. And so bringing it back to our identity, so much of our who we are and our identity is wrapped up in this whole thing. I think it's the one key thing that is going to change our lives forever. I think it's the one key thing that is going to change the life of this church forever. And we'll be helped along the way. But I think that this is the big thing. And our spiritual identity has got to be the paramount thing in our life. I believe it. I really do. And we need to look at what the source of our identity is. And Jesus is the source. He is the source of our identity. Our identity, last week I was giving you a few little tidbits, and we said that our identity was stolen. Yeah? And because our identity has been stolen, and because we've given into that situation, we've given into some areas of our life being dead, and we're not doing anything about reviving them or resurrecting them, it's limiting the influence of the church and the effectiveness of us as people. So we've got to know what was stolen from us, and we need to get it back. Amen. So we need to know our authentic identity. We need to know that as persons, and we need to know our purpose. Amen. And if we know these things, no one is going to tell you who you are. No one else is going to be able to define you. Amen. You're not going to be defined by what people say, what their opinions are about you, what their expectations are for you, or whatever else is out there. Because when we discover who God is, what he is, and how he relates to us, that's it. We'll be settled in who we really are. Amen? So, and a lot of people listen to what other people say about them. You know, let's face it. We've all done it. We listen to what other people say about us. We listen, and it soaks in. And it soaks in deep. And then we begin to live out their perception of us. We begin to be a product of what they think we are. And I think that's so sad, because our eyes are coming off of Jesus and are being, and we're hearing and seeing what people are saying. And, you know. People say you're ugly or you're useless or any of these. God never said any of that. God doesn't say nothing like that. God says you're handsome. You're handsome. You know, I love it when we go to Ghana. There was the handsome man's barbershop, you know, and there is so many beautiful names for the shops there, you know. It's like, you know, everywhere you go in places in Africa, even the name of the business encourages you. You know, it's like, wow, just that was a pick-me-up on my way down the street. But, you know, God never intended us for us to find our value in anything connected to the earth. Everything with God is heavenly. It's always in that other realm. Amen. And so when we can discover who we really are, we'll recover our true identity. Yeah. And has anyone here ever had their identity stolen? Has anyone here, a genuine question, anyone here had their identity stolen? Then you are blessed. It's a terrible thing. It's a paralyzing thing. It's probably one of the worst things that can happen to a person is when your identity is cloned or stolen, yeah? And the reason why people normally steal your identity is to carry out fraud or crime, or just to basically suck all the money out of your bank account. Isn't that right? And so the thing is with identity theft, right? You're held accountable for debt and stuff like that that you didn't even authorize. You know what I'm saying? There was one documentary on TV. I've seen one man and he was an elderly man. My heart broke. He was like 80-something, and 80-something thousand pounds had been removed from his account. And he never got that back because he gave the identity stealer the authority to do it, to take it. He never seen a penny of it back because he gave that person the go-ahead to do it. He was conned. Amen? So listen to these. You can meditate on a lot of this. And you can be, when your identity's been stolen, you can be accused of things that you've never even done or been involved with. Yeah? And it just devastates your character. You know, and I think a lot of us are like, well, hang on a second, it wasn't me, it's not my fault. Yeah? And I think a lot of people perpetually, in terms of their identity, they stay in that place. It's a victim mentality. It shapes their life. And we got to get out of that, amen? And a lot of people, they almost glory in their down-putting and not in their uprising. You know, it's like, oh, you know, this happened and I can't do anything about it. It's so unfair. It's like, well, God says you can get out of that. You can recover out of that. Amen. So how was our identity stolen? You know, God sees humanity in two ways. We're all different in here, yeah? But he sees us in only two ways. He recognizes all the different ethnicities and cultures and everything else, but he sees us either, okay, in two conditions of heart. That's the only way he sees us, in Adam or in Christ. That's the only way that God sees us. We're either in Adam, in the family of man, or we're in Christ, in the kingdom of God. Amen? Or in the family of God. And basically, Adam, he represents separation from God. And being in Christ reunites us with God. You see the identity thing going on here. And you know, some people think, okay, when we die, that's it. Some atheistic people believe this. When we die, that's it. That's all there is. But the Word of God tells us we live forever. Our bodies die, but our spirits never die. And spirits live forever with their identities. We will live forever with our spiritual identity. And because of Satan getting in his involvement, amen, in causing Adam to fall, we're born into an identity that's already connected to death. Do you understand that? We're already born into that. And even when we say, oh, hang on, have you heard people saying this? How come I'm paying the price for his problem? It's not my fault. I know it's not your fault. But God has given you a way to recover out of it. And we've just got to take it. Amen? There's a lot of things, you know, through life where, you know, personally even, I've paid the price for other people's mistakes. And I could say, oh, it's not my fault. It's your fault. Look what you've done, you know. But it's like, no, get on with it. There's a way out. There's a way out. Amen? So this identity was connected to death because Adam was the father of mankind. He represented man and he passed on a negative identity to us, yeah? It's like a handicap. It's like we were handicapped from when we were birthed because we brought that with us. Okay, it came down with us. So here's the reality. When a man's disconnected from God in this life, he's adrift, he's lost. He's got no reference point. He doesn't know where he is, although he might think he does. And we were spending some time with Elaine and Jeremy the other day, and can I take the liberty of telling this wee story about your family? It was good. Elaine's loved ones took the dog out for a walk in Mochlin Woods, didn't they? And they went walking out in these woods, and they called or maybe Anne called or something, and it was like, you know, and Elaine said, where are you? And, oh, we're so-and-so or whatever. I might have this slightly wrong, but I'm going from memory. But it turns out after, like, she knew there's something wrong here. You're lost, all right? But she just hadn't admitted to the fact that she'd been lost at that time, all right? So it was like, you know, where are you? Oh, I'm out here. Eventually, you know, they get back, and they're all absolutely shattered, aren't they? They find their way back home. But it's like, you know, it didn't take you long to sense that something wasn't right. These people are lost. But the people that are lost are saying, no, we're not lost. We're doing all right. We're doing all right. But so anyway, it's like, and this is the thing with us. And because of Adam, you know, our reference point was taken away. Our reference point to God is Jesus Christ. And Adam means away from God. He was away. But our destination is connected to God. So we need our reference point to get back home. Presumably in Mochlin Woods, there wasn't much going on that they could use as a reference point to get home. So, and here's one for the guys. The first step to finding your way is admitting that you're lost. Amen. It's a guy thing, isn't it? Honey, do you know where we are? Yeah, of course I know where I am. Are you sure you just don't want to check your nav on your phone? Oh, come on, it's just over there. Half an hour later, you're driving around the blocks, you know, and you don't know where you are. But the first step to finding our way back is admitting that we're lost, amen? And a lot of times we get lost because we've listened to somebody else, amen? It's the same with our identities. Our identities get screwed up because we listen to other people. And God had to call Adam, do you remember this, in the garden, and ask him, where are you? Of course, God knew where Adam was. He knew where Adam was. But he needed to point out to Adam that, listen, something big's just gone down here. And there's been a change. He had to point that out. He knew where Adam was, but he had to make sure that Adam located himself. He's like, Adam, I actually know where you are, but do you know now where you really are? The reality of where you are? Man. All of a sudden, this happens because Adam had just listened to and submitted to an authority that wasn't God. And the information he received changed his direction and redefined who he was. So his identity that God created him in, all of a sudden, is completely changed. Just like that. Yeah? He realizes he's naked. Oh, everything's new now. I'm butt naked. Everything is new. The whole reality is new. It's brand new. And then he immediately, in that moment, became self-conscious and not God-conscious anymore. Amen? He's living a new reality outside of God now. And I think that when we get our identities sorted out, we can live in the reality of being in God and not outside of God's will. Amen? And so God has an intended reality for us to live. I believe it. And we need to walk in that. So Adam lost the awareness of where he came from. He lost the awareness of who he belonged to. And he lost all the authority that God gave him. And that was pretty cool stuff because he could do anything that God said he can do. And all of a sudden, it's all different. So can you imagine that? God says, you know, Joe, you can do this. And you're like, God, do you mean if I just say that I need this or I do that or I name that, it happens? Yeah, that's right. And all of a sudden, the fall happens. And everything changes. You can no longer do, because you're not identified with him anymore, you cannot do what he says you can do. But then when we're restored in our identity, once again, we can do the things that God says we can do. Amen? And so I think it's a powerful thing for us to meditate on. And thank God for the Holy Spirit. He's going to draw people towards the Father. He's going to draw people towards the Father. And that identity, that identifying with the life and abundance of the kingdom is going to come into their life. Amen. And thank God that what happened on the cross, that was an identity restoration moment in history. Amen. That was an identity restoration moment in history. And I praise God for that. So I just want to read you, we're just going to close just in a second, but I just want to read you this passage of scripture. Just reinforcing this whole thing with Adam. And it's in Romans 5. So go to Romans 5, verse 12. And this is in the Message translation. And it's just gonna give some structure to the kind of discussion we've just had. It says, you know the story of how Adam landed us in the dilemma we're in. First sin and then death, and no one exempt from either sin or death. That sin disturbed relations with God in everything and everyone. But the extent of the disturbance was not clear until God spelled it out in detail to Moses. So death, this huge abyss separating us from God, dominated the landscape from Adam to Moses. Even those who didn't sin precisely as Adam did by disobeying a specific command of God still had to experience it. They had to experience this termination of life, this separation from God. But Adam, who got us into this mess, yeah, He also points ahead to the one who will get us out of it. He points to our representative there. Yet the rescuing gift is not exactly parallel to the death-dealing sin. If one man's sin put crowds of people at the dead-end abyss of separation from God, just think what God's gift poured through one man, Jesus Christ, will do. Amen. Amen. There's no comparison between that death-dealing sin and this generous, life-giving gift. The verdict on that one sin was the death sentence. The verdict on the many sins that followed was this wonderful life sentence. Amen. If death got the upper hand through one man's wrongdoing, can you imagine the breathtaking recovery life makes? Sovereign life in those who grasp with both hands this wildly extravagant life gift. This grand setting, everything right, the one man Jesus Christ provides. Amen. Here it is in a nutshell. Just as one person did it wrong and got us all in this trouble with sin and death, another person did it right and got us out of it. But more than just getting us out of trouble, he got us into life. One man said no to God and put many people in the wrong, and one man said yes to God and put many in the right. I truly believe that when we get our when we understand our identity, we're going to be part of that happening, that we will put people in the right. It's like the blind leading the blind scenario. When we are walking in our true identity in Christ, people will be set free. We won't be setting them free, but because we know who we are, they will be set free. Amen? And we've got to understand that we can look at on a horizontal level in this life we live. We can listen to man and all of that stuff, or we can do the vertical thing. And we can let that influence us. In John 3:6, it says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus at the time, and he's saying, Nicodemus, if you're struggling with the concept of earthly things, how on earth are you going to understand heavenly things? Amen? It's like, if you can't understand that, how are you going to understand heavenly things? And I think this is a big thing, because how can we walk after the Spirit if we don't know who we are in the Spirit? Amen? How can we begin a transformation in our lives if we're dominated by our five senses? It's easy to be dominated by our five senses. Really easy. Because, you know, yesterday my senses were screaming at me to go to sleep, but I still had work to do. So we can give in to what our bodies are craving and needing and all of that, and what people are saying, and you should do this, you should go there, you should do that. Or we can be led by the Spirit. Amen? And so we just want to get this whole thing of identification sorted out. And next week, we're going to just look at some in Christ things. Last week, I did mention about talking about, you know, our legal personality, our legal identification. And I think maybe we could look at that next week as well. And another thing that we might touch on next week is, you know, the actual word identity is a Latin word. It means the same. It means sameness. And we studied something from Bishop Dagg one time on the topic of allos and being another of the same kind. And so, you know, it's very interesting to study about this whole thing of identity, because identity gives us legal rights in the kingdom. Because if I go to the customs desk, I give them my little red book, all right, my passport, they're looking at me, and they're looking at that, and they're looking at that, and they're saying, is this the same guy? Is this the same guy that's standing in front of me is on this thing here? And so identities, you know, people are looking for us to identify us with something that is a source, okay? They're looking at that. And so I believe that we can look a little bit at allos as well. I think we've spoken quite a lot. Luke brought a great message a couple of weeks ago, and we've talked about just the way people are going through life, being shaped and molded by their cultures and their upbringing. And, you know, I understand all of that. They are an important part of who we are. I listened to this one lady having a podcast chat with someone else this week, and she was from Canada, and she was really, she says, I'm so much part of Canadian, I'm so much part Western European, I'm so much part Native American Indian or something. And then she was talking about identity, and she says, so I had a DNA test. I sent my DNA away, and she says it came back, and I think she was really hoping that she was a lot American Indian for some reason. But it came back, and she was 32% Irish. and then she was a little bit of this and a little bit of that. I thought, oh, shame. It's like, she's like, I don't know how to cope. There's Irish in me. I think it's a good thing, Gran. Amen. I thank God for my Irish heritage. And she's like, do you know what? And then all of a sudden, because this new evidence came through on her identity, on who she was, she's like, I need to go and discover now what's going on here. I'm going to Ireland. I'm going to find out I'm going to find out the source. I'm going to find out who I am. And I think that some of us, we get so 30% this, 10% that, 20% this. And God just says, listen, there's no gray areas, no confusion here. Don't have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. You can't live like that. You've got to identify with one or the other. Because when I look at you, I'm going to identify you one way or the other. And you're not going to be able to say, it's not my fault, it was someone else. He's going to say, I'm looking at your heart. Is your heart in the kingdom of God? Is your heart in the kingdom of Adam? Is it in the kingdom of man? And so I think we can go and discover more about who we are. And the more we get up to the more the needle goes up to the 100% identity in Christ, wow, you guys are going to walk out there and you're going to affect people in a huge way. The identity Christ in you is going to transform you. Years ago, there was a message we did. It talked about that fireman in New York. He was really badly. His hand got really badly burned in some rescue or something, and they didn't know what to do with it. And a surgeon came up with a plan, and they cut his side open, and they put his hand inside his body. And the healing, the regenerative power, the healing power of his body began to heal his hand. And it was amazing. There's a story about it. You can check it out. So when his hand was in his body, same way as when we are in Christ, our lives are regenerated. Our lives are regenerated. Amen. Amen. That's good. So praise the Lord. Well, thanks be to God for that. Amen. Thanks for listening. Remember to visit our website, www.bridge-church.com, and connect with us via Facebook and Twitter.